Today I will invite you to go with me on a scavenger hunt. How many of you have ever been on a scavenger hunt? Oh, good. I was afraid that that was from my youth and nobody knew it anymore. Teams gather and compete in a community-wide search. They go out and look for things. Sometimes those things are unlikely. Sometimes they're interconnected. And the one who wins has brought back all of the things. Well, on this day of Pentecost, I'd like us to go on a scavenger hunt for physical signs of the Holy Spirit in our readings today. The first thing on our list is not in the bag, but it's the most obvious one. It's the one we heard reenacted a few minutes ago as we sat up there and I thought, oh my Lord, I'm in the wrong church. This is a Pentecostal gathering. Thousands of Jewish folk from different countries around the globe gathered in Jerusalem for the feast of ingathering or Pentecost, when they were able to celebrate the richness of God's harvest. And suddenly everyone began to hear in his or her own tongue the wonderful acts of God. Now, the only thing I can compare this to, I don't really understand how it happened. I mean, these guys could have had a Rosetta Stone, not the software, $600. Or maybe they had a real Rosetta Stone. But these were uneducated Galileans. So it was a true miracle of speaking, but it was also a miracle of hearing. Now, those of you who have been overseas in a country where the primary language is not English, I think will recognize this. When you're in a crowd and you're now used to hearing French or German or whatever language, and all of a sudden you hear somebody speaking English, your ears perk up, right? Because it's your native language. That is the effect of this physical manifestation of God's Spirit. Each one heard the works of God in his or her own language. And how true that is for us today as we apply God's mighty acts to our individual lives. But, you know, we had to have a scavenger hunt, so there have to be some other things in here. The first one in the reading is really kind of lame, I thought. And that is that wind coming through now. We have our fans. They're not on today because we don't need them. I searched really hard to find one of those funeral home fans to put in here, and I knew I couldn't fit a fan in. But anyway, the wind that came through the room. Now, I say that's lame because, you know, you could have said, well, somebody opened a door somewhere. Or maybe there was a summer breeze. Maybe Seals and Crofts were singing. And we saw a summer breeze. So that's not all that spectacular. But it does represent, for those who saw it and heard it and read these scriptures, the Spirit of God, as God's Spirit came over the waters at creation. God came like a wind and blew over the waters of creation, and creation happened. The second one I kind of like. My parents always kind of, you know, this kid plays with fire, right? Okay, so the second miracle is I'm not going to burn your hair up, is the flames of fire over their heads. Now, that's going to be a little harder to explain. I don't care what drug you have been taking. This just does not seem like something that would happen very easily, right? But it did, and so it's fire. Well, okay, by now we have two things. We have wind, which is air, and fire. Well, for us in the modern world, that may not mean so much, but for people in the ancient world, air and fire, along with water and earth, were the four elements that made up the entire creation. Now, go back to your science class. In our modern world, we know that everything around us in the physical world is made up of protons, neutrons, electrons, and all those little things that I can't pronounce, you know, the subatomic particles. But back in the ancient world, everybody acknowledged, or thought they acknowledged, that everything was made out of air, water, earth, and fire. Everything in creation. So when they heard and saw these things that day, they were seeing that God had come into their creation and changed it. God came to them where they were in the physical world. Now, I don't know about you, but in our modern world, we have a hard time with that. God kind of, you know, we want him to stay in a book or maybe up there behind the altar. And you know, if we're really spiritual, we might want him as part of our lives, but we don't think of God as being part of the physical creation. But for this day, the day of Pentecost, that happened. Now, I had to stretch a little bit on this third one, but there's water. This is my water bottle. I'm going to take a drink just because I'm thirsty. So, water. Where does that appear? Well, it's not on the day of Pentecost exactly. But in our gospel reading today, Jesus promised his followers that whoever believed in him would have water. But not just a drink of water. He promised the flow of water out of your innermost being, the gut, the part of you that no one else sees. Now that is a terrific promise. For many of us, we look for solutions out there. Oh, I'll get a better job. I'll get a relationship. I'll get better health, and I'll be okay. But Jesus says, no, that's not where it begins. It begins right in here, where I will provide what you need. Now, how many of you have been on long walks or bike rides? You know how good that water tastes when you can stop and have it. That's what God's Spirit is for us. But as they say in the commercial, wait, there's more. Because in the scripture, when the water flowed out, it flowed out into the world. And the image in the Old Testament of God coming to earth is always of the desert blooming, of water coming to the desert and it grows. So I have a last thing in here. Now this doesn't look like, you know, it's growing because it's a rock. Came from my prayer garden, but it represents the earth. Now go to the scripture, and I just love this, that, you know, this little occurrence of Pentecost takes up maybe four verses, and then they have 20 verses explaining it, which is so typical for Christians and religious people. But the important thing in that explanation is that Peter references the prophet Joel, and he says, in those days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You say, so what? He's talking, the prophet Joel, and Peter is proclaiming that the day of Pentecost was the fulfillment or the beginning of the fulfillment of that promise. That no longer was God's Spirit for a few people, for kings and prophets and special folk. God's Spirit was not only for all people, but for all flesh, the entire world. So this spirit that flows out from our innermost being doesn't stop there. It goes out into the world and it changes the world. That's the final point of the Pentecost. So as we meditate today, I want us to think about that. Where is God flowing out into the world today? Now, I was desperate for sermon illustrations this last week. And I sent out an email and I got a really good one back. And what it is you're going to have to stay with us till next January to get this. But next January, there will be an art show, I think. I hope I'm not overcommitting here. But there is a woman named Maya who does poetry of a certain kind. And I forget the name. Is Lisa here? She's not here today. She's visiting. We sent her out to other churches as an emissary. But anyway, Maya's going to share poetry, and there will be other people from the streets of Minneapolis that will be sharing their artwork. And they will be speaking, I believe, in a different language that few of us have heard. Now, some of us may have heard it before, but we will recognize in Maya's poetry, in the visual arts, as we have downstairs right now in the art show, but even next January, a new vision, a new dwelling of God's Spirit among us. But we don't have to wait till next January to get that. We have it each and every day because we carry that within us, that inner spring, that well of water that God has given. So now I join the psalmist as we join in silence together and pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Renew the face of the earth, and it will be made new. Amen.